Welcome to our service for the 14th Sunday after Trinity. Our theme today is God's giving of the Jewish law and its importance in our Christian history and our Christian life now. In Deuteronomy chapter 28 we shall read, "All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in, and blessed when you go out." The Lord gave his people his law, so that they might know his blessing. At our first hymn today, therefore, is "Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done."
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Singing as the days go by, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
Now it's time for our prayers of penitence. We begin with the Kyries. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you came to reconcile us to the Father. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, by your cross many children are brought to glory. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you search our hearts by your indwelling Spirit. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the 14th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, whose only Son has opened for us a new and living way into your presence, give us pure hearts and steadfast wills to worship you in spirit and in truth. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
The first reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 and 6 to 9. A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses spoke to the people. He said, "So now, Israel, give heed to the statutes and ordinances that I am teaching you to observe, so that you may live to enter and occupy the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. You must neither add anything to what I command you, nor take away anything from it, but keep the commandments of the Lord your God, with which I am charging you. You must observe them diligently, for this will show your wisdom and discernment to the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and discerning people. For what other great nation has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is whenever we call to him? And what other great nation has statutes and ordinances as just as this entire law that I am setting before you today? But take care and watch yourselves closely, so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen, nor to let them slip from your mind all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading is a reading from the letter of James, chapter 1, verses 17 to 27. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfilment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves, and on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious, and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The Gospel reading is from Mark chapter 7. When the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered round Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders, and they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked Jesus, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" Jesus said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'This people honours me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There's nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I don't very often try to talk in a sermon or address about all three of the Bible readings set for the day, but the relationship between our three readings today is worth considering. First, we heard from Deuteronomy the voice of Moses extolling the virtues of the Jewish law and the respect which it would win for the Jewish people among the nations. "What other great nation," he asks, "has statutes and ordinances as just as this entire law that I am setting before you today?" The second reading is from the Epistle of James. We think, although it is by no means certain, that the attribution is to James, the brother of Jesus. One of the great themes of the letter is the correction of a misunderstanding which James feels has arisen from the apostolic teaching about the relationship between faith and works of righteousness. The apostles, foremost among them St. Paul, taught that people were fundamentally put right with God because of their faith in Christ, and not by keeping the commandments of Moses in the Jewish law. At one level, of course, this was obvious. The apostles were going round preaching and teaching that people needed to be saved by putting their faith in Jesus Christ. It was the absolute heart of their message. How people were to live thereafter was for another day, a secondary concern. But even Paul acknowledged that this gave some people the impression that so long as you put your faith in Jesus, you could live however you liked afterwards. The greater the sin, the greater the forgiveness. So, in today's passage, James reminds people that it's no good just responding to the message and then carrying on as before. You mustn't be just a hearer of the word. You must be a doer of it also. Then, in our gospel reading, we hear the Pharisees in the time of Jesus criticizing Jesus' disciples because they do not keep the law. In fact, as Jesus points out, the washing of hands and food is not something originally commanded by the law. Devout Jews, by Jesus' time and still today, keep other commandments that have been added to the law since the writing of the Torah. Our gospel reading calls them the tradition of the elders. So all our three readings invite us to consider how we understand the relationship of the Jewish law to our own faith. The first thing we will want to say, which comes from the first verses of our reading from James, is that the law and the commandments are a gift from God. Every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God gave his people the law by which to live, in the same way that any loving father will give commandments to his child, and for the same reason, that the child should prosper and grow in the ways of truth and wisdom. Any loving father, and one would want to add, any loving mother. There has been a grotesque story in the news this week of the broadcaster Kirsty Allsop being referred to social services because she allowed her 15-year-old son to travel across Europe with a party of slightly older friends, essentially his classmates from school. She had taken the decision after proper consideration, and, as a loving and thoughtful parent, it was hers to make. We understand the law, then, as a gift from a loving father to his children. It also appears that Deuteronomy is exactly right to suggest that the law will hugely increase the respect in which Judaism is held by other people. Now, it might seem absurd to suggest that, in the light of the history of the persecution of Jews, which goes on to this day, but Christians of all people have good cause to know that for many people outside Judaism, the impression of a close community committed together to the principles of a just and holy God has historically been very attractive. The first Christian missionaries had success precisely among the people we call the God-fearers, Gentiles like the centurion Cornelius, who'd been attracted to the Jewish community and its synagogues, where they gathered for solemn worship, focused on the reading of the law. Our gospel reading, though, reminds us that although any gift may be a good thing, its blessings and benefits depend on how it is used by the person who received it. This applies even, perhaps especially, to the gifts of personality and talent which are given to us as individuals. We will all in our lives have known highly gifted and talented people who were not able to enjoy the fruit of the gifts with which they have been blessed. Indeed, we see such stories in the news every week. Not everyone who is given the gift of a talent is also given the gift of how to use it for their own benefit and the benefit of others. But what was worse in Jesus' time, and what seems to have angered him most, is the people who took the wonderful gift of the law of God and used it as a stick to beat other people with. Those who strictly kept the law and came down like a ton of bricks on anyone who deviated from their view of it in the slightest way. Now, there were, of course, members of the Pharisaical party who were not like that. As I say, it's impossible to read the accounts of the many Gentiles who were attracted to the Jewish community and not realize that there must have been many Jewish people who lived out their obedience to the law with graciousness and understanding. But it is equally clear, sadly, that both Jesus himself and the emerging Christian communities were subjected to persecution and ultimately violence by the Jewish community for preaching the way of Christ. St. Paul bears witness, and we have no reason to doubt him, that he himself 5 times received the 39 lashes of the Jews. What all this means for us today is simple enough, I think. We must not, in our enthusiasm for our faith and everything it means to us, use any idea of our supposed moral superiority as a stick to beat other people with. Theoretically, at least, this ought to be harder for us to do. We start from the point where we know that we are forgiven sinners, who claim no righteousness of our own, and are completely dependent instead on the righteousness of Christ, the one perfect, unblemished sacrifice, which he himself made of himself for the forgiveness of our sins. We of all people must surely realize that we have no ground for boasting. The Jewish people were the recipients of the wonderful gift of the law of the Lord. We are the recipients of the wonderful gift of the gospel, freely given by our loving Heavenly Father. He gives us his grace, as he gave it to Moses long ago, because, as James puts it, he is the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow or variation due to change. Our business is to live in that light that we have received and to pass it on in every way we can, not only hearers of the word, but doers also. Amen. It's time for our prayers. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. En tad, yr hwnnwyt yn y nefoedd, sancteiddio dy enw, ddeled y dernas gwneled y wychlis, megis yn y nef fechli ar y ddear hefyd. Dyna ni heddiw ein bar y beunyddiol, y maddau i ni ein dyledion fel y maddewn ni na ein dyledwyr, ac nac arwain ni y brofedigaeth, eith y gwared ni rhag drwg, canis oedd y tu o'r dernas a'r gallu a'r gogoniant yn oes oesoedd. Amen. And our prayers are taken from David Adam's prayers for the church years. Let us pray. Lord, as you love us, help us to love one another. Give to your church a burning zeal and keep us ardent in spirit. May we ever rejoice in the hope that you have set before us. Through Jesus Christ, our living Lord. Amen. Lord, we pray for unity and peace in your church. Increase our fellowship with one another and our openness to others. Give us the courage to proclaim the saving power of the cross. May your church help to bring reconciliation and peace in your world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for peace. Peace in our hearts. Peace in our fellowships, peace in our communities, peace in our nation, peace in your world, that as much as possible we may live at peace with everyone. We pray for peacekeeping forces, for the United Nations, for the police and probation services, and we give thanks for all peacemakers. We pray for all who offer your peace to this world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for family and home life. May our homes be places of peace and love, homes of holiness and hospitality, of harmony and of unity. May we learn acceptance and forgiveness through our loved ones. Let us not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all, and especially those known to us, who are not at peace, for people from broken homes and in broken relationships, for those broken in heart and spirit, for places where there is a breakdown of peace or well-being, for all who are being destroyed by hatred or revenge, all who have suffered from the violence of others. We pray for peace in Israel and Palestine, in Russia and Ukraine, in southern Sudan, in Burma, Myanmar, and in all those places where there is hatred and violence and the innocent suffer from it. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, when you come in your glory, make us to be one with you and with the saints who are now at peace. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Drop slow tears, and bathe those beauteous feet that brought from heaven the news and praise of peace. Cease not when His mercies to entreat, to cry for vengeance sin doth never cease.
see sin, but through my tears.
Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your heart and mind in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, this day and always. Amen.